the weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm the host, Grant Alexander, and joining me as always is Adam Mackey and Jesse Radfink. I'd like to ask Jesse a question now. What's in your clamps?
So mostly I have been sick. I had a migraine for 2 goddamn days, so I just lost 2 days last week. But I was still kind of productive for like the brief amount of time that I was a person. So my dogs have torn our couch. The couch is like 7 years old at this point, and we don't want to replace it. So I ended up sewing on some patches that don't match at all. They're very wonky because I didn't have an upholstery needle, but they're functional. None of the stitches have busted, and they've jumped all over it. So I'm really excited.
What's an upholstery needle?
So an upholstery needle, it's basically 2 to 3 times the length of a typical needle, and it's curved. So it's a lot easier to kind of sew on to something. I thought I had one, and I didn't. I tried to make one, and I just broke 2 needles. But yeah, it's patched, and now I'm going to have to make another patch because Charlie made a bigger hole today. He's one of those dogs that wants to dig before he lays down. And he's way too big to be doing that on a couch. So, yeah. I also fixed my vacuum. We have like a pretty expensive Dyson that I got free through work because of like applause points you get for being a good employee or whatever. I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, it died. It wouldn't work. I was freaking out. I took the whole thing apart. I cleaned it. Then Tyler helped me take it more apart. And I ended up having to buy like $100 new vacuum head for it because the motor had just totally burned out. Like when we got to that point, you could smell it. Like it was definitely the motor. Oh, and I finally got a fume extractor, which I'm very excited about, and an actual nice soldering stand. So I have everything I need now. I can finish stuff. I have no more excuses.
You have no excuses, but you'll find one.
No excuses. Well, the problem is I am still so sucked into Dragon's Dogma. That's my issue right now. It's the only thing I'm thinking
That's
about.
That's not an excuse.
Hours in. It's not
Works
an excuse,
before play.
It's a problem. But I don't know. I think
says
the Tyler's
guy who
gonna
didn't
be going
his
on.
clamp challenge last
but
time.
He's like, done so
says the guy
well
that,
this year.
Says the guy that finished it first this time. Mm-hmm. It's so the whole needle thing. I discovered that Meccano is not bendable, the metal brackets and stuff. So I had a Meccano car that I was just taking up space. So I was going to throw it out, and I thought, no, I'm going to pull it apart, and that way I can utilize all the bolts and stuff if I ever need them, because I'm a hoarder. And I was trying to make brackets and trying to bend like strips of the metal, and they just kept snapping. Mm-hmm. They're not bendable at all. It was very frustrating.
That is exactly what happened with the needles. I could not really bend it. It would just boop, crack right in the middle. And I was like, well, damn. Okay, this is not the right metal for this. Yeah. I don't know. Grant, what have you been up to?
Well, I witnessed the total eclipse. I recall
of your heart?
That, yeah, that I think it was Bobby Duke was on the digitally creative podcast with Vincent Ferrari, and he was talking about like he had driven to see the total eclipse, and it was like, if it ever comes near you, you should definitely take the time to go and see a total eclipse. And it was like coming through Kingston, which is where I'm from. It's like 2 hours away from me. So I went to my dad's house and we watched the eclipse in his backyard, and it was pretty cool.
Nice.
And it was like nice to like, you know, you take off your glasses at the total eclipse part and you can stare right at the sun, which is kind of cool.
Have you never seen an eclipse before?
Not a total eclipse.
Oh, okay.
A total eclipse? Like it only happens for each location in the world. It's about once every 400 years on average that you will see one.
That's why everyone was so obsessed. I swear I saw one when I was younger.
So you might have seen an annular eclipse. You might have also seen a total eclipse.
I think it was a total because I'm pretty sure it was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Right. But, and like, so you could have one where one, like a city in the 2 hours away gets it 2 years later. Like,
yeah.
But a particular location often doesn't see one. There's one every 18 months, basically, a total eclipse. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, because 70% of the world is uninhabited, it falls on uninhabited areas, right? And nobody gets to see it, except for the astronauts. Anyways, it's kind of cool. Like, if you are within, probably, I would say, like, a five-hour drive, I would do it. That would be my max. I wouldn't pay $800 for a hotel, but I don't know.
Minute of fun.
I know. I saw that all the people who went to Niagara Falls are pissed and wanting refunds. Yeah. What a fun time.
Yeah. They were expecting Niagara Falls declared a state of emergency, which I think is crazy. And obviously, on the Canada side, because they expected so many people, because everything was like crazy booked up, and then they all, like, it was cloudy there. But in Kingston, it was cloudy for like there was clouds coming by, and there was probably like a 2 minute period where it was cloudy, but it cleared up before the eclipse. And
so it was crazy
how dark it got and how cold it got.
Yeah.
Our next total eclipse is in 4 years, 102 days.
Wow.
Where?
Where I am.
Yeah. Yeah, that is where everyone on the internet, the like joke is, everyone's looking for tickets. Everyone who saw clouds is looking for tickets to Australia. Because that's one of the next major areas, like inhabited areas, that's going to get one.
Yeah, right.
The other thing, I got a new phone, which is frustrating, but that's life. I don't really want to complain too much about it, but I don't update my apps. And so when you get a new phone, you don't have a choice. You have to download the brand newest version, and every one of my apps is fucking different, and I hate it. And on top of that, I just hate it.
Why don't you update your apps? You just don't like change?
Yeah, because every single one of them is worse today than it was 2 days ago when I had my old phone. The notifications are different. The like functionality is different. The placement of stuff is different. And every one of them has this like idea in their head that they go, and this, I read it about Discord. Discord's completely different now. And the reason they changed it is because they didn't want a scaled down version of the desktop app. And I said, that's exactly what I want. I want the exact same fucking experience between the desktop and the app. I want it to look the exact same. I want it to function the exact same. I want it to have every single fucking thing the same. I do not want a different experience. I want the same experience everywhere I go. And I hate the fact that it's different. And I hate the fact that every single – there are apps. Like fucking Patreon is one of the worst. The app is
Patreon's really
useless.
Bad.
It is it is nothing like the website. And I'm like, how can you think this is acceptable in 2024?
Yeah.
Like, don't put out the app.
You know,
make the website work. I'd rather that.
The biggest thing that pisses me off with Patreon is that you can't make playlists. Like of someone else's stuff. So I subscribed to Cold Ones, and all of their old videos were put up on Vimeo, which all got like deleted, but they're still on their Patreon. And I had to cull through all of those because they've re-uploaded them onto like the YouTube or whatever Patreon uses now. So they actually work. And there was no way to just put them in a playlist so that I could go through them. I had to, every single time I wanted to, like if I finished a video, I had to go through the search process again and go through every single post they've put up of videos. I could search just videos, but I had to go through them all again to work out what the next one was in line.
Yeah, their search makes me crazy because I always seem to follow like Too Scary Didn't Watch is one that I am subscribed to right now. And they have a ton of bonus content. And so it's like, well, yeah, you can, you know, divide up between video, audio, that sort of thing. But then if there are too many results, it doesn't load them all. So you have to
You've got to scroll down.
It makes me crazy. Yeah.
So it drove me insane.
I had a problem. I like started my Patreon and I went to Patreon, tried to search for myself. I couldn't find myself. I was like, oh, that's weird. So I emailed them and I said, like, I can't find myself in the search. And they said, oh, go to Google. Use Google to find yourself.
What?
I have that email somewhere. And I was like,
like,
so you're telling me, like, instead of using the internal search that only goes to your website, you want me to go to Google and type Patreon plus my name.
What? I was like, company, that works,
but that's fucking stupid.
What company thinks, oh, you know what? Let's send people away from our website to find what they want on our website. Like, that's
at least back when Patreon was better than it is now. But, you know, if Jack
Conti come on
and tell us why he has taken the website that was good and destroyed it, then he can come on.
What used to drive me, it's changed recently, but if you're watching a video on Patreon and then you close the app or whatever, when you go back in, that video was gone. And if I couldn't remember what video I was watching, I couldn't search just the title. I had to go through the search process again. But for some reason, I don't know what's happened, but all of a sudden, if I close it and reopen it, it still just pops up at the bottom, like, continue watching what I was watching, which is good.
Yeah.
But it was so irritating before.
I've never, ever heard of someone using Patreon to listen or watch anything at all.
This is the first
I've ever heard of it.
Yeah,
I only subscribe to someone if I'm getting something
RSS feed, you know, and then not everything shows up on the RSS feed sometimes. So it's like,
well,
I always
Cold Ones, their Patreon is every single YouTube video they put up like the kind of unedited version. It's not completely unedited because they get rid of a lot of the dead space, but they put of like the extended version, and there's some things they can't show on YouTube that they'll show on there, so they'll put that up. But then they also have their podcast is purely Patreon only, so they also have a video version and an audio version. They have an audio RSS feed but not a video, which is annoying, because if they had a video RSS feed, I could put it into another app and then probably make a playlist.
Yep. So easy.
Well,
yeah. Oh, well. Hey, Jack, so what I've been working on, you asked.
Come on over, Jack, and tell us why. And
let Grant yell everything. At you.
Jack's coming on episode 201.
I'm going to say, you know what, Jack? This is just one more of those tries that, and you just haven't got it right yet. So, Adam, what have you been working on this week?
So I finally finished my camera rig thing, but it needs a little bit of tweaking because it vibrates like crazy. I've got to try and work that out. But I did get,
camera vibrates too much.
My cam girl works. See, I can move my camera. Jesse didn't get to see that last week unless you watched the episode.
Nope. I did watch
but
it,
my camera track, the camera track that I was doing is done, but it needs weight added to it or something. I don't know. I need to fiddle with it. I think I need to add a bearing on the end, and I need to add a railing above the bearings on the dolly so that it can't vibrate and shit. But
yeah,
I'll work that out. And then the other thing I've been working on is getting my bike ready to sell, my daily bike, because I upgraded my license finally, and I finally have my full license. So I'm not limited in what I can ride. So nice. I'm looking to upgrade to a bigger bike. And funny thing is that I can sell that bike for more than what the bigger bike's going to cost me, because here you have to have like certain bikes if you're on restricted license. And because of that, those bikes sell for so much more than the bigger bikes because you have to keep them like fully stock and stuff. So people would like, it's weird, but for some, like, that bike that I have now, I could probably get $5,000 for. And the bike that I'm looking at getting, which is the exact same bike but an 1100 instead of a 250, is I can get them for about $3,000. So it's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, also, since we're all here, it's Luna's birthday today. She is 14, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Luna.
Very exciting. Look a day over cat.
Nope. She still acts like a kitten, honestly, too. Like, because most cats I've had, when they get in their teens, they get kind of like skinny. Their fur is like, you know, kind of scraggly looking, but she looks like she did when she was a baby. I don't know how she's doing it, but good for her.
It's because she's probably staying authentic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She never lies about anyone to herself. She's just a grumpy little bitch, and that's how she does it.
So, why don't you introduce the topic?
So, when I was sick last week and couldn't do anything, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. And something that I started to recognize is that I get really uncomfortable when I think that people are putting on kind of a character or sort of acting in a way that they think people are going to like, if that makes any sense. Like, it's something that I've always had an issue with, but I feel like it's a lot worse on YouTube just because there is such a wide range of people making content. So it's just, yeah, I guess I kind of just wanted to talk about why it's important to be authentic, or maybe the counterpoint, why you might want to act like someone completely different or be a character for whatever purpose. I won't watch your stuff, but surely someone will, because a lot of the people that I find kind of uncomfortable are very popular. So I don't know. I don't know how many people I want to name or call out, but it's just... Well,
you know what? Start with one. You have to name one example so we understand who you're trying to talk about.
Well...
It'll be someone we don't know.
Shit for this. No, I'll probably get shit for this. But Mr. Beast is one that I don't entirely like watching. I feel like they are doing takes and takes and takes of dialogue.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And it just is not, it's not so, for me.
It's funny because my first thing I was going to bring up was Mr. Beast. But firstly, do you not watch movies that's people acting?
Well, so I do. And this is why I don't like comedies, I think. Like, it always seems weird. And, like, everyone's pretending. You know, like, with dramatic movies and horror movies, there's, like, deeper emotions that are happening. And, like, yeah, if someone does it really badly, it's the worst thing in the world. But overall, like, comedy just makes me uncomfortable. Like, really uncomfortable.
Okay. Interesting.
So,
because a comedy is, like, where I go, this is the one I relate to the most. Because I feel like I am most likely to try and, like, laugh, make other people laugh. Jokes are great. The rest of the emotions, no thank you.
That's fair. I mean, it's totally fair. And I think comedy also, I think it's a bit of a gender thing for me. Because when you think about it, most of the big comedic movies that, you know, were coming out when we were growing up, all males, all like the male point of view. And I just didn't relate to it, you know? So it's like, it never got me. It just makes me unhappy.
So you said Mr. Beast, because I was curious to find out, like, if you meant people putting on a character or people acting sort of up. And Mr. Beast is sort of the first person that comes to mind with that, because he does do that. I've seen him not recording a video, and he's completely different. He definitely hypes up and everything. But I also think that's what makes his videos pop like they do. That's why people watch them, because he sort of is so hyped up that it sort of comes through and hypes up the person that's watching it. And I understand, like, it's not for everyone, but I think that if he didn't do that, I don't think he would be as big as he is now. I think that
probably not.
It's like people get excited because he's excited.
Right, but I see someone who's not excited. I see someone who is
He's clearly
I need to pretend to be excited.
Oh, yeah.
That's my problem. Yeah. I guess maybe instead of authentic, a better word might be sincere. You know?
Mm.
Like
when you were saying that, I was just gonna say, like, quickly with Mr. Beast. Like, in saying that, if the video opens and goes, "Today we're gonna run a train through a Lamborghini," compared to "Today we're gonna," you know, like, it's, there is some acting that needs to be done. Yes, he probably overdoes it a lot, but it does require some, I feel. Like, if you're bored, if you talk boring, people aren't going to be interested.
If you are bored about running a train into a Lamborghini, then guess what? Maybe this isn't the life for you. Like,
you've done it too many times.
So, for me, a good example of a channel that has that high level energy but doesn't come off as so acted scripted is the How Ridiculous guys. Like, I like
them
because they are just freaking out and having
genuinely just having fun. Yeah.
Yes. And you can tell that they're not running the same take over and over and over again. Like, they're not trying to get like a very specific script out of whatever they're doing. They're just reacting to what's happening. And I enjoy that a lot. But,
so,
you know,
with that though, it's the style of video too, because even I don't really watch Dude Perfect anymore, but back when I did, they do take off. Like, they don't do everything the first try. They, you know, they try to throw the ball into the basket 100 times, but they still somehow show what feels like a genuine reaction. It doesn't seem like they're acting. So you can act and make it seem more pure. And I'm sure they are actually reacting how they would, because after 100 tries, you're going to be excited that you finally got it.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, it is, if you've ever tried to do something 100 times, you might be very excited when you finally do it.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of patience.
The times I've done it 100 times, I would not like, rah, but that's just not my personality. I just be like, ah, nice. And then I just move on with my life. But I think if you like started making videos, you might
start. But, you know, again, they probably do overreact a certain amount because they're trying to get the audience to be as excited as they are. Mm-hmm. Like, if they didn't react like that, people are going to be like, oh yeah, cool, you got in the basket. Whereas because they act like that, people are like, get excited with them. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you trying to get audience engagement, not just as in they want to keep watching the video, but you want people to be excited about watching the video and excited when you drop another video.
I'm excited when people are excited. I'm not excited when people pretend to be excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what pretending authenticity. Part. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which, and if someone is pretending to be excited in a way that I can't tell they're pretending, then obviously it's well done. Right.
Yeah, they're like, a great actor.
Right. There are actors that you go, I believed you were that person.
Hmm.
And there are actors who go,
oh, yeah,
I saw you in that movie. Right? Like, and there's a big difference.
You watch, I sent a reel to Jeff today, and it was Bubbles on Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's not actually recording at the time. And he's like, oh, I've got to go back to work apparently. But he is like in character. Like, you can tell that even when he is not recording the show, he is in character that whole day.
I love him so much.
Same. But you watch, to take it away from YouTube just that little bit, something that used to always drive me insane was Pimp My Ride. There is no way someone didn't go up to that fucking door and say, hey, exhibit's about to show up, act excited. It was the most fake acting I have ever seen. And you know, they're not actors, but it was like, it used to drive me nuts. And even the car reveals and stuff, like, no one acts like that and jumps around like a lunatic.
Yeah, reality TV is especially bad.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. It's.
They pump you up and they tell you to react, overreact.
Exactly.
The driver's test. And like anyone who's like gotten hints on how to do it, they're like, really, like, move your head a lot. Like, really show the person that you're looking. Don't just move your eyes. You need to move your head.
What? Right? It's funny you say that, because when I did my bike license, it was the same thing. Like, they are very thorough on, like, you, if you don't do your head checks, you fail. Like, I, the first person that went up and I did the test for my last license failed because he didn't do his head checks at the beginning of each test.
Yeah.
For three, if you fail, if you don't do it three times, it's instant fail. And but they said, make it? Sure that you, in, no, he didn't. Make sure you insinuate it, no, what's the word?
Extenuate.
Like, do it
exaggerate?
Over.
Exaggerate?
Extenuate? Like, yeah, exaggerate it. Yeah, whatever, that'll work. Make sure you exaggerate. Like, don't just go, oh, yeah. Like, actually, like, fully, like, look behind you, because if they can't tell that you've turned your head, you're going to fail.
Right. Yeah.
So, in, like, to bring it a little different direction, when you, when Jesse suggested this topic, the thing that came to my mind was, like, someone who's, like, a dilettante, right? Someone who, like, the dictionary.
Let me get my thesaurus out. Hang on.
Is someone who cultivates an area of interest without a real commitment to actually learning about it. Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of people who are, like, dilettantes when it comes to the art world. So they say they're interested in something, but they don't actually want to know about it.
I feel targeted.
There's a cachet with being, you know, interested in something.
That's the kind of person that changes. Yeah, that sounds like the kind of person that changes their channel a few times.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would actually say, like, someone who's actually interested in something and is learning about it, that's fine. You can change your mind. But someone who doesn't actually want to learn about it, won't want to project as if they are interested in it for some reason. And I feel like that's an inauthentic thing that we see creeping up, like someone who projects they're interested in woodworking but never wants to learn beyond pocket screws and butt joints. You're like, do you actually like woodworking? There's nothing wrong with that. That's where you start, for sure. But if 10 years later you haven't got beyond that, And you don't have, like, this care to actually do it, it doesn't seem authentic that you want to learn woodworking. You want to build stuff, that's fine. But if you want to say you're a woodworker and you continue to use, you don't grow, you're probably a dilettante.
I was just going to say, I think that's, you know, mainly why I felt the way I did about when I had, like, the Maker channel and stuff, is that I wasn't really interested. Like, yeah, I like woodworking and stuff, but I wasn't interested in learning new things. I just wanted to do what I knew.
Yeah.
I didn't have the interest to go and learn, like, how to actually properly do woodwork. I just liked making stuff.
Right. And this is where I think some people get into, they're probably a maker at heart and a dilettante on YouTube, because they feel like by being projecting as a woodworker that they have a better chance at making money or growing their channel. Whereas you see people who are actually interested in learning all these things, you could see that in it. Like, a dilettante's very easier to, in my mind, to pick out once you start hearing what they say. A lot of dilettantes will use buzzwords.
Yes.
'Cause that makes them seem as if they're in the know.
Yeah.
They're not.
Well, and those are also the same people that a lot of times will jump on a trend and do something without actually fully understanding what they're doing, which drives me crazy. And that's the first thing I thought about, like, especially in the tech world, you know, if something like HoloClocks, I know I've talked about this before, but HoloClocks got very, very big like 6 months, a year ago. And there were so many people just copying other people's designs to get clicks for themselves, but they couldn't explain to you why it was designed this way, how it was designed, why this is cool. They're just making it because they know that's what people are searching for. And I really dislike that too. Ugh.
I think that's why the guy that, I don't want to say invented, but the guy that with the river table, I think he got fed up because people didn't like care about the river table. They just were making them because it was the trend.
Yeah.
I think that's a whole different thing, but yeah. That I don't think that has anything to do with it. He was like convinced that his trademark was worth something.
Well, yeah.
That's what he was mad about. Is that people were using the term river table as if he and he was like, no, I trademarked that name. That's what he was mad about. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like inauthentic people. I don't like people who say things, like say one thing and do a different, like hypocrites. My biggest belief in life are hypocrites.
Same.
Inauthentic people are often hypocritical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they can't do any like deep self-reflection a lot of the time. You know what I mean? It's just like they're just reacting to things and being impulsive and not really like thinking about who they are and what they like. So talking about people not really knowing who they are, another person that really comes to front of mind when I think about inauthenticity is JoJo Siwa. Do you guys know who she is?
Yeah.
The bow chick. Yeah, the bow and the high ponytail girl. So she was on Dance Moms as a very young child. Very good dancer, very talented. But her whole life has essentially been in show business. And she's been around really shitty people. She's been manipulated the whole time. So like now that she is of age, like I think she's 20 or 21 now, I still feel like she doesn't know who she is. Every time I see a video of her, she's always like yelling at the camera and like posing really weirdly. And it's just, it's so frantic and wild. And I just, it's overwhelming for me. Like she, a couple years ago, maybe she came out as a lesbian, which like, yay, one of us, yay. But like, then she just does a bunch of really weird stuff. And it's just like, it's just progressively gotten weirder. And now she's like rebranding herself. She has a new song out about how she's a bad girl and does bad things, but she doesn't even like cuss in the song. And she looks exactly the same as she used to, except she's wearing like black instead of rainbow and pink now. It's just, I don't know. I always get uncomfortable and also feel really bad for a person who doesn't seem like they're comfortable in their own skin. And they're just sort of acting how they think people want them to act.
Not to be stereotypical, but I get the idea that like dance moms and all that, like they control those children a lot.
Oh yeah.
So she's probably being brainwashed like crazy and she's trying to work out who she is. Like you said, she doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
And she's going to be mentally fucked up like that forever because she doesn't know the right, like she doesn't know what she wants to be because she's been told who to be her whole life.
Yeah.
There's heaps of people like that. I feel
so bad for her because she is having her like awkward stage of like experimenting and learning in public. Like, why do you have to do this on TikTok and Snapchat? Like, why? It makes me so sad that people like that don't feel secure enough to just like back away.
Most people have their goth stage in when they're 12 years old or something, not when they're 22.
Yeah, now she's like, I don't, y'all should search, but she, or I guess I will search, but she, her in her new video and then also at like some sort of award show, she showed up looking like a member of KISS, but like bejeweled.
Wow.
It made me laugh so hard. It's just, so bizarre. I do not know what's going on in that lady's head. You see if I can find it. I'll put it in the chat.
Well, that's, I think it's like, she's likely like some sort of poser or exhibitionist, like someone who's just like so attention seeking and trying to project something that they think other people are going to like.
Yeah. It's definitely an attention seeking thing.
Like, it's hard to, because people like that are so influential. Like, so many girls and that grew up with JoJo Siwa being their idol and doing everything that she does, that it's hard because whatever she does now, people are going to want to follow.
Yeah. So here's another one that I want to bring up that I notice on social media a lot and it really bothers me. when people cry on camera, that shit makes me crazy. Like, why in your moment of complete just like despair did you think, I'm going to whip out my camera and I'm going to get some views for this? That is like a
whole
level
of sick weird.
To me. Like, that's how much social media has fucked with us. Because that's another thing. Anytime I see someone crying on camera, I like immediately say, do not show me posts from this account. I do not want this content. Stop. Like, it's just so uncomfortable.
What if you're actually trying to get some sort of, like, you believe that your friends are watching and you would like to share
your actual cry for help?
No, you just want to share your emotions with them.
The thing is that if you're, like, you're upset as you're portraying. The last thing that you should be thinking about is, oh, let me get my camera out.
So a lot of times I have seen people crying on camera. It has to do with, like, like, I've seen YouTubers who's, often had, like, a pet with them, and their pet passed away, and they wanted to talk about it. They got a lot of questions about it.
That is different, really, from like what I'm thinking. And I can say more about what I'm
thinking. I know what you're thinking. And I've seen like the videos where people are like it doesn't feel real. I think by categorizing what you're saying as crying on camera makes you not want to see them. I've seen people really show real emotions and want to share the story because they get so many questions about their dog or their person, you know, like they need to share because that is the situation they're in. And
yeah,
when you share sometimes stuff like that, you might have emotions and they might be sad.
I can understand people that start recording and then start to cry because they're talking about it. It's the people that start recording mid-cry.
Yeah. I just want to tell you about how I felt. I went to like camp here earlier today.
It's so gross.
A white chicken, and I asked for a dark chicken, and I don't like white chicken.
Yeah, it's like temper tantrums and pity farming, I guess, are the ones that I get really mad about. Yeah. But the one that is really sticking with me, I forget what the name of the account of. There's like an Influencers in the Wild account that I follow on Instagram. And one of the most recent things that I saw on there, there's this woman who I think she's claiming to be like a grief coach or some bullshit. So this woman seriously goes and sets up a camera at the foot of her bed, climbs onto the bed and proceeds to have a full fucking meltdown on camera. No fucking reason, but she's seriously throwing her arms and screaming. And like, this is the person that's supposed to be a grief coach? Like, what the fuck is actually happening here? What is she doing this for? Like, I guess I don't really understand.
It's more like good grief. That's like, she's like, this is Charlie Brown needs to react to me. Good grief.
Oh my God. Ugh. Yeah. I think actually if you're talking about something that happened, you know, that really affected you. Okay, sure. Like, I am fine with people getting upset and, you know, talking about deep feelings. I mean, I do it all the time. I am like a bit of an oversharer when it comes to my feelings, just because I have so goddamn many of them. But I would never get on camera and just have a meltdown and not feel weird about it. Like, I don't know. I guess really I might be having an issue with people just trauma dumping on the internet. Like, no one has in real life friends anymore. It feels like people don't go to therapy. Instead, they get out their phone and drop every bad thing that's happened to them. And I just can't handle it.
It's probably it's because they get so much like positive reinforcement from that.
Yeah, I'm sure it kind of creates a monster in that way. Like, you get the most reaction when you're at a 10. So then you keep thinking you need to be at a 10, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh. Now that I'm just thinking about it, I'm like, oh, so weirded out. I don't know.
Well, I think it's anyone. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I know there was a lot of controversy and stuff a while ago about vloggers and stuff. Like, Roman Atwood, for instance, right? In all of his videos, he never showed, like, his kids getting in trouble and discipline and all that sort of, like, they were a perfect family. And then it all came out that apparently when the cameras aren't off, like, he's always, like, yelling at his kids. And apparently, I don't know if any of it's true, and I'm not going to – I'm not saying it is, but apparently it came out that like he is actually really strict and everything, but on camera he's like a really nice guy to his kids and stuff. And like it was just, it's just interesting like what people choose to portray. Mm-hmm. And I remember like anytime I ever used to watch any of his videos, and I always thought like, there's no way your kids are that perfect.
Yeah.
Like you're clearly not showing everything.
Yeah, but I also, like, I hate family vloggers and family channels where they're basically exploiting the children for views. Yeah. That stuff bothers me so, so much. Like, there are so many people right now making money off of their kids' worst moments. Yes. And just, like, the amount of humiliation that those poor children are going to feel when they're teenagers and someone is like, oh, I found this video of you. You peed your pants and then you cried and your mom yelled at you. And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, I feel really bad for kids these days because there are so many parents that just do that for likes, views, money.
Even not just like kids and that though, even just couples, like they don't have kids.
Oh God.
They portray such a perfect relationship, lifestyle and everything yet. Mm-hmm. Like you don't see the in the background, like, they fight like every other couple.
Yeah. It's.
And worse fights because they're having to be perfect and they want the video.
Yeah, it's all an act. Yeah, exactly.
Well, like, it's so difficult to look at because we are seeing. It's the same with, like, if you were to look at, like, what. Like, I watch movie reels all the time and I go, if they had just fucking talked, this whole movie wouldn't exist. Yeah. They just shared for 3 seconds, like, what happened over there. They just got in one room and just, like, they were in the room. They just didn't say it. I go, if they just did, and that's the whole thing. I go, just like, we're only seeing snippets. You don't know what happens. When you watch a movie, it's like, you're not, unless it's like 24, and there's, you know, 24 hours and 24 one-hour episodes, you're not seeing every single thing that happened to this person, right? You're seeing little bits in between and you don't know what happened. So when we see social media, and I get it can seem inauthentic, but it's really difficult to otherwise share. Like, I'm not going to share, like, you know, my fucking leaky face from a sinus infection and say, hey guys, like, no, I'm not going to do it because you don't need to see that. So then you look at my feed and go, wow, it's only good stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to share when my like kid is spilt like a 100-piece puzzle on the floor and starts like, I don't know, doing random stuff. Out? What? Uh-huh. What?
It's you.
Hmm. Can y'all hear each other and hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, okay. Something weird just happened and my headphones disconnected. Sorry. I'm like, what is happening? I don't hear anything.
Okay.
Hopefully we're good again.
So I'm going to take it from the kid. You're not going to like, I'm not going to like film a time where my kid like spills like their bowl of cereal on the ground and like has a little crying fit over it. I'm not going to even like, I'm not giving them, I'm not putting them in trouble because they spilled milk.
It works for Adam Sandler.
Sometimes, like, what? Yeah.
It works for Adam Sandler.
Yeah. The, like, but sometimes they don't react the way you would, you know, they don't react the lovey-dovey way that you would expect, that you would hope them to. Sometimes they just go, like, oh, I spilled all the milk. You're like, it's fine. They're like, I spilled the milk. I wanted to drink that milk. We have more milk. I wanted to drink that milk. And you're like, yeah, but like, I don't know what else to do. I'm not going to film that, right? Because it's mm-hmm. no, like, yes. And then it looks like I have a perfect family. And guess what? None of us do.
Nope.
And
so the last person that I'll bring up to get it away from the whole kids and relationship and stuff is Liver King. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
Oh my God.
No.
So
fucking this educator nightmare, that man.
But here's the thing, right? This guy, his entire career was on YouTube and everything was that he eats liver every day and like all this meat and shit. And that's how he got all these gains. And like, he's a massive, like muscly dude. And then it comes out that he's been using steroids, but he never told anyone.
Of course.
And like, you look at him and you're like, there's no way he wasn't using steroids, but still people, he didn't tell people that and tells people that the reason he is like he is because of the food he eats and the workouts he does. And it is just a complete blatant act and lie.
So there's something very similar. Like when you go to any sort of like beauty area of Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, that is something that happens a lot. There's a lot of people who want to sell you on things and just be like, this is how I do it. This is how I'm so gorgeous and so wonderful. And then I can go watch another video by like a plastic surgeon who is tracking the way their face has changed over the years, or just like all this stuff. It's like, there's no way that you are all natural. Like a clean girl beauty, clean girl makeup has been a big thing. And it's basically being like as fucking perfect as possible. And it's like, you have to spend hundreds of dollars on Botox and lip fillers and every cosmetic thing you'd ever need. And it is like all of your time and energy to keep that up. But then they'll get on camera and be like, well, I drink 64 ounces of water a day. I only eat vegetables, no sugars. Like, you know, they're preaching at people fully knowing that this is not like, how they got there.
It's like how often you see people like the no makeup challenge and they're like, clear, like you're wearing makeup. It's not even like you're wearing like eyeshadow. It's not even like subtle makeup. You're wearing, there's no chance you're not. But you know what they should probably do? They should probably just try and find some clamps and utilize that to make themselves look younger. And then they can enter the clamp challenge, which the clamp challenge is currently ongoing, where you need to make a project that involves a clamp. Or many clamps, because, you know, you can never have enough.
You can never have enough.
Turn that clamp into something functional, artistic, or just plain fun. You have a chance to enter, chance to win some great prizes. The project has to be a new project that's completed between now and April 30th. To enter, all you need to do is post on Instagram with the hashtag ClampChallenge2024 and tag ClampCast by the 30th of April, and you'll have your chance to win. Sponsors include Chapman Manufacturing, which, by the way, you can use the code Chapman or Clamp24 to save 15% on the 5575 kit. Housemade Industrial Isotunes and a Weird Guy. And with that, I will head on over to thanking the Patreon supporters. I almost went into something else, but yes. I want to thank you were about Patreon. Supporters, especially our F clamp level, Scott from Daddy Yourself DIY, Joe Herdina, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, Brad from I'm Gonna Make, and Chad from Chad's Custom Creation. Everyone who supports us on Patreon gets access to the after show, as well as a custom keychain made by yours truly. And every month you get entered into a gnome hammer draw. So head on over to patreon.com/clamp if you want to support us. And now,
clampmendations. So
Jesse's the only one doing a clampmendation.
Oh, I got one. Added something. So, but I can
boom.
Still talk
take
for a
that,
while.
Adam. Go get your shit together,
Dick.
Oh, anyway, my clampmendation for this week is someone who I find very authentic, Jude Pullen, aka Hey Jude. So, Jude is a pretty damn prolific maker. He's worked at Dyson, Sugru, Lego. Like, so he's done a lot, and a lot of his instructables are either sort of natural projects. Like one of his most recent ones was harvesting clay and turning it into dishware and doing the whole project. And it's harvested, I think, from like riverbeds. Very cool. Mm. Or he's done dyeing with natural stuff like flowers and vegetables, fruits, that sort of thing. His most recent one is something I really like, which is the right to repair. So he wrote an instructable that's called The Fight to Repair, Fixing Headphones, Fixing Our Product Design Mindset. I think that's something that's really important. And one more thing that I really love that he has posted is starting inclusive design projects. So actually working with the people that you're designing for. Something that is a huge pet peeve of mine is that a lot of younger students are given basically the task in any sort of like, I don't know, technology course or computer science course, stuff like that, to design something for someone who is disabled. But they are not actually talking to someone who is facing the issues they're designing for. They're making assumptions about them and designing on that. I really hate that. I think it's awful and it others people. But yeah, he wrote a whole instructable about that. I 100% agree. I think it is so important that you actually speak to the people you are designing for.
Million percent brings me back to the changes they make to the fucking apps that I hate. Like, anyways, it's because of my obvious disability hating change and other things. Well, no, it's 100% true that I really hate the fact that people try and design something for someone without talking to the person they designed it for and then present it and then pat themselves on the back.
Yes.
And go, I'm so good because I did this for these people. And the people who get it, they go, I do not want that.
Yeah, or it does not help me. It does not work for me at all. Yeah.
No, it actually makes it worse. I could deal with the thing before unchanged, and now this is actually worse for me.
Yeah.
Full circle back to Pip My Ride of putting a fucking water fountain in the middle of a back seat.
Yeah.
Or a fish tank. Like,
yeah, the fish tank. Happening? In the middle in California. Yeah, that's going to last.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to leave that bit in before we had a little tiff there, just so my Clint mandation makes sense. It's a really old movie, but I'm going to Clint mandate Basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fucking amazing. And I keep having this, I can't find any gifts on it. So if someone wants to make one of like the whole cock beer, he's like, cock beer? You know, do you know that part?
No.
No.
I don't like, watch.
Someone says something too insulting.
And, oh, and I might have been inebriated.
Someone says something to insult him and he calls him a cock and then offers them a beer.
This is a strange question. How do you spell that?
Base?
Do y'all know?
As if it's baseball and then ketball. B-A-S-E, ketball.
Okay.
Very so cool. Just so basketball like, with an E after the S.
See it now? Okay. I was like, how am I going to find this? I was just searching. Right. I was searching for Matt Trey basketball, and that did not help me. So, yeah. Okay. I know what's happening now. All right.
Right.
So, I'm going to recommend people check out a video that was recommended to me by Dave Bauer, that was recommended by Hank Green. By the way, if we start saying names like Hank Green, maybe they'll come on the podcast at episode 201 as well. So it's an answer.
Isn't that a drink bottle?
What?
Isn't that a drink bottle?
Hank Green?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't that the drink bottle that all the girls carry around? Or is that someone else? Frank Green.
That's a Stanley cup per bottle, right? I don't know.
No, some what are other you
talking
bottle.
About? Okay. Nope. Okay. Edit that out. So, Answers in Progress, which is the YouTube channel, they need some help. They only have 1.48 subscribers. There's a million there. Anyways, the video is how I fixed my attention span. It's an interesting video. They get an ECG and try and track their brain function on different ways of what they're doing. Basically, it boils down to, if you don't want to watch the video, the thing they found worked was meditation. And all the rest of the pop science bullshit didn't, it worked temporarily, but in the end didn't work. But meditation seemed to have some sort of lasting effect. I'm not going to do that, but maybe one day.
I have had I have had all intention of trying meditation, and I just keep putting it off.
I have no problem with meditation. Think it's probably fine. I just don't have, like everything else in my life, the time to dedicate to it on a consistent schedule in order to make it. I don't want to half-ass something. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to whole-ass it, okay? And I'm not going to, like, if I start, it's like, I need to, like, figure out when to do the thing. Anyways, this came as a, from the last episode, if you haven't listened to it, which according to the numbers, none of you have. when we were talking about, like, time management, it basically, like, it is a good thing to look into to see, you know, things that worked, things that didn't work for her. And,
So counterpoint to that, you have to practice something to get in a habit and get good at it. Like,
well, I don't think I'm bad at meditating. I think I don't
have. You're not doing it.
Right. But it's not like you're saying you have to practice to get good at it. I think I can do it just fine. I think I have a problem with finding the time.
I think that's just an excuse, Grant. I mean,
yeah, everything's an excuse.
Yeah.
Everything's an excuse. But it's like, I feel like the way to make something like that effective is by doing it on a regular basis. And I do not currently have the time with my schedule.
Yes.
That's fair. I don't know. I am also the weirdo, though, that, like, exercises super late at night just to fit it in. So, like, I don't know. I'm not the best example.
If I have showered for the day, I cannot exercise. I have done the shower. That was it. I needed to shower. I needed to exercise before that. So that's it. If I wake up in the morning and have a shower, I'm like, not exercising today. That's just the way it goes.
Oh, dear, Grant. Okay, so anyway, ask us anything. Doing an easy one this week because my brain did not want to think. So, from Warren Matten, WWJD, what would Jesse do? What would Jesse do? She would completely ignore her computer and her phone, all of her notifications, and either get really sucked into a book or a video game. That is my default setting. So there you go. I don't know. Do you guys want to answer what Adam and Grant
I don't know what the
did?
Fucking question was.
What would Jesse do?
What would Jesse do when?
Adam, was WWJD a big thing in Australia?
What do you would remember Jesus do?
That? Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't understand, like, do when. Like,
weird shit. You're overthinking.
I thought it was in response to something.
No.
Like, I'm in this conundrum. Like, what am I going to do? And then someone goes, what would Jesus do?
Right.
Like, it was an answer to something, not just like a random fact.
In America, it was a statement. That was the full fucking statement. There was no more explanation. It was just huge for a while.
So what, but like, what would you do for what? I'm confused.
Anything. You don't have to answer.
So fine. What would Jesus do?
Oh, you're breaking my brain. Okay,
for like a decade, he'd try and be a carpenter, and he wouldn't be very good at it. So he'd start a cult, and then some people might follow him, and then he'd die. Mm-hmm. for like 3 years. He'd like pretend to heal people.
Looks so unhappy.
And he would use like carpentry skills to walk on water. And then, and then he'd get nailed to a cross, which I guess, boom, that's why he was a carpenter.
Don't do what he would do.
Is he finished talking yet?
Yes.
Okay. Headphones back in.
Why
hurting my brain.
Why? Because I was talking about Jesus?
No.
The carpenter?
The whole fucking thing confuses me.
But if I was Jesse, what would Jesse do? Because that's the question, not what would Jesus do.
But what's the conundrum?
Life.
Anything.
The universe and everything. If I was Jesse, what would I do? I would...
I'm not touching that one.
If I was Jesse, what would I do? I would play Dragon's Dogma for 42 hours instead of doing my clamp challenge.
Yeah, sure. That's what you're going to play. Yep, okay.
Yeah. I'm like 50 hours in now, so there's... complete truth to that. I think probably my friends back in Louisville would say that I would like giggle maniacally and run away. And that that would be the answer, which is also fair. I don't know. Hmm. There you go. We broke Adam.
Yep.
All right. Well, I want to thank TF Turning for the theme song. And if you want to find us, you can find us on all the usual social media places by searching for Clamp or Clamp Cast. And until next time, cheers and have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.